Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guests on this episode are Minna Walker and Kelly Dugan of Daisy the Great. They have just issued their new album, The Rubber Teeth Talk with Friends, which reimagines their 2025 release, The Rubber Teeth Talk. This new version features contributions from Frankie Cosmos, Ray Bull, Alexis Krauss, and more. The pair recently spoke about the new recording, the origins of Daisy the Great, how their history in theater has impacted their approach to music making, as well as a then-upcoming trip to China, where they performed three shows in July 2026. That's Minna Walker and Kelly Dugan of Daisy the Great on Into Music, coming up now. Lovely to be speaking with both of you, and right off the bat, you're going to China.
Yes.
Heading out Monday night.
Let's go.
That's kind of wild. That's how that opportunity came up?
Yeah, we just were told that our streaming was doing really well there. And over the years, people have been saying, like, oh, by the way, like, this is a really nice market for you. And there's, like, a lot of fans here who would love for you to come play. And we've kind of always been like, wow, that sounds far away. And, like, it sounds amazing, but it sounds like, you know, how will we actually get there? But I was just thinking about it last night, and I was thinking the flight is like 16 hours, and there are so many times that we have like a 16-hour drive in the middle of tour, and it's like totally fine. I was like, I feel like it's normal. Maybe it's normal.
Yeah, and you don't like, you get like a meal, you know.
Yeah, we're good.
Just
yeah.
Across the world. It's really like, crazy.
We've been primed for this. Yeah.
It's kind of crazy too, because it wasn't like, oh, we're going to China like in a year, or like we're going to China in like 2 years. It was like 3 months ago someone was like, hey, we have an opportunity for you in China. We'll book everything. Like, we'll pay you. You just have to like pay for your flights and everything else is covered. And we're like, oh, okay, cool. And then we're like, they're like, do it in July. And we were like, okay. So we like got back. We like announced this tour. Like, usually we'll like announce something with like a lot of advance notice, but this tour we announced last week, and we're going next week. So it's very like immediate gratification feeling. I feel like me and Kelly were just talking about how normally it's like, oh, I'm going on tour at this point, and then like the tour is going to be over, and we're only going for like 6 days and playing three shows. So it feels very like, we announced it, we're going, and we're going to be back next week. Right. So it's very it's very whirlwind feeling. But hopefully we'll go back to Asia in general. And like,
yeah, we're so excited. It's like, yeah, we're such super an amazing excited opportunity. And like,
it's adventure. So, yeah, it's always crazy to play outside of the country and just like see people. Like, I remember when we played one of our first shows in Europe, we played in Vienna, and I was just so like shocked. The first show we played was in Ljubljana. How do you say it? Ljubljana, Slovenia. <Yeah. laughs> And I was like, no one's going to be here. Like that, like who's going to know our music here? And then like, there's like, you know, like 100 people singing your songs, and you're like, who are you? And why are you singing these songs? So I'm really like, I'm always just so blown away and grateful whenever it happens, and especially when it happens somewhere so far away from where you like make the music, it's just, it's cool how far things can travel. As like, especially like the songs that they know are like songs that we like kind of wrote when we were just starting the band, and like we were like kids, you know. So it's fun. It's really very unreal to me.
Well, congratulations on that. And I'm also happy to be talking to you about this new record. What kind of inspired you to take this approach with the album and have the remixes and collaborations and so forth?
Yeah.
We have been really interested in making new versions of songs basically for the whole time that we've been making music together. And I think a lot of it comes from starting off in a really performance-minded way where the recording always kind of just feels like one time of performing the song, and there are like infinite ways that the song can feel and be played. And so we've done it a few times on our own, and then a few times with collab versions where we'll make a second version of the song and release it. So one of them was like our song Glitter, which is quite up-tempo and rocky. We've released like a more emo, sleepy version of Glitter, which was so much fun to make. And then we did some collab versions of other songs with like Illuminati Hotties and Claude. But we always had a vision of doing it to a whole record. And it's just always been kind of like, every time we make a record, we go like, should we do the like full reimagined thing? And so, yeah, this time around, we were just like really dead set on getting it together. And we had a dream and it happened. And it's really cool.
It's been super cool too. I just think it's a good reminder that like songs are living things that like can evolve and change. And yeah, like we've always felt like recording isn't the song. It's just like Kelly said, it's like that moment that we decided to record the song, that's what it sounded like. Through history, songs are things that are passed down through many people. And I think that having other people have their take on the song just highlights the lyrics in a new way and the meaning in a new way and the melodies. It's just so, and it's just so cool to like share the songs, because I feel like once you put them out in the world, they belong to everyone. So it's a good exercise in like letting go of that need for ownership over your art. So I just think like the more you can share your music with people, the more you can learn about yourself and other people and stuff. So we're super excited about it.
You both have theater backgrounds, yes?
Yeah.
I wonder if that is part of that. You know, Kelly, you mentioned that idea of performance, and you both kind of touched on that idea that the song is evolving. Do you feel like that's in some way influenced by that theater background?
Totally. Yeah.
Totally. Also, just being a band for 10 years and playing songs that we wrote 10, 12 years ago, still now, after like evolving as humans, I think that like we really feel how the songs evolve over time through the way that you perform them and like what they mean to you. The same lyrics can mean something different to you at 20 to 30, you know? So I think it's so important. Yeah, I think that the performance background is so important to how we make music. And just I think that because of how big the internet is, sometimes it feels like that's where all the music is, you know? So I think there's also this pressure that like after you release something, you have to make the next thing. So it's nice to like release a new thing, but it's still the same music that like it allows you to like meditate on the music a little bit more.
Was there anything in going back and kind of reworking these songs and so forth that really surprised you? Like something that just jumped out and you were like, oh, that's, you know, like we were talking about, like things change over time. And it's like, oh, that's what that song is. Yeah.
Yes. That happened like a million times over. I feel like every time somebody sent us a song, we were like, wow, this is crazy. It's so funny because like, obviously we have such an idea of like what it should be or could be or will be. And it was so fun to be surprised. And a lot of there were different situations per song. So for some of the songs, we were working with the collaborator in person. And then for some, we were like really hands off. So it was also really interesting to see, like, when we're there, can we actually like try to let go and like let someone else drive? And then if we're not there, like, can we just get sent the song and be like, let's go? Yeah. So yeah, I felt super excited and surprised by all of them, honestly. Some of them that I am thinking about now are like, I remember getting the mix for Lutala's Marys at the Carnival, and Minna and I were on a train and we opened the file and just like both listened to it on the same together. And that's one that was so exciting because that has like a really amazing new energy to it. And the first song is quite like, the first like recording is quite meditative in ways and feels kind of looping and circular. And this has a similar feeling, but it's like a lot, it has a lot more energy to it. And because the song is about music and a lot about letting go, it was really interesting to hear this version that I could almost feel like you actually like letting go and like dancing to or like moving to in a way that feels really different, but feels like totally like unlocks a part of the song that is more sleeping in the first version. Or like Tex Petrello did Sumi Alice, and it's so whimsical and magic feeling in a way that we like totally didn't expect. And like a lot of the time we just didn't have an idea of what it would be like, but it was still so like surprising and so thrilling to get sent the thing and to hear what the person was imagining. And it totally like reveals another side of that song as well, to have such like sweeping, majestic feeling.
I feel like that one really highlights the melancholy of the song and kind of pain of the singer, because I think that the version we have is a bit more, it's more loud and it's more kind of going through the process, the thought process. It sounds more like we're like talking like to somebody in the original. And then I think that the one that Tex made it feel much more like an internal pain of the struggle of like an unattainable person that you feel like you're in competition with, but that they like don't know. And I think that it just made the song so much more sad and moving to me. So I was very moved by Tex's version, and we had no idea it would be like that, because we had originally been like, oh, maybe you can make like a kind of like solo piano thing of it. And then she sent us this like fully orchestrated, like beautiful, creepy, like falling down a rabbit hole feeling song. And we were like, wow, this is perfect. Yeah. So it's really, we're so normally like hands-on with everything. Like we want to direct the music videos, edit the music videos, like make all the art, do everything. And this is our year of being like trusting the people that feel like, it's just, I think we also just picked artists that we feel very inspired by and like,
and we trust them
to have. Yeah, we trust them. And we're like, even if we got something and we were like, oh, I didn't expect this, then like you listen two more times and you're like, oh yeah, this is perfect. So it was such a crazy and fun exercise to be like, even if like at first I'm like, I wouldn't do it this way, to just be like, just trust, just trust. And like, that's the point of the project. I mean, I was just surprised at everybody who said yes. Like, I think that we reached out to everybody. We had like these, like, you know, we were like, okay, well, you know, if this person says no, we'll figure out somebody else to do it or whatever. But the amount of people that were down to do it, that we just like love and respect as artists and peers, I think felt super, it feels like validating. You know, yeah, and I don't like know if like that should be something that everybody is seeking, but I think that it does feel wild to feel like you look up to somebody and they're like, I like your song and I want to make a version of it. Like, it feels really, especially a lot of the artists that we've like loved for years, like it feels like a full circle moment to be like, oh yeah, we are like kind of living in the same musical universe, you know, and when you think about like reading about music in the like 70s and the, you know, all throughout time, and understanding that like you're a part of like some type of musical community, it feels cool. It feels like a way to zoom out and like, because everything feels so like all in your head, all in your little world. And that I just think that making your world bigger and bigger feels fun.
I'm curious, like, how the two of you sort of met and knew that you were on to something.
We met in acting school, actually, at Tisch at NYU. And we were at first like friends of friends. We weren't in the same group, so we kind of knew each other through other people. And then eventually we were in the same group and we like did a scene together that was really funny and fun to work on. And the beginning of working together was always silly and kind of like brought out a childlike spirit that we enjoyed. And then eventually we started working on writing a musical together that was about a band. And then in the process of writing the musical, we started talking about what type of music the band would play. And then both of us kind of just opened up our laptops one day and said like, oh, I have this trove of music that I have just been working on or have written and haven't really done anything with. Especially since we were in school, it was like so, we were so busy. Our school was like conservatory style, all day acting class, all day everything, and rehearsal and shows and everything. So I loved music the whole time, but there just like wasn't a huge amount of time to work on it. So we had a bunch of stuff that we started to share with each other, and like those songs became the first EP. Like once we started showing them to each other, we like just stopped talking about the musical and just started singing and working on like building the songs out and adding people to the band and picking up any type of little show we could pick up. And it just like came from a very fun and creative and exciting place. And we had there was no pressure in the beginning because we were like, we're just doing this because it's really fun to do. And we're, you know, we were like in plays and in musicals at the time and in, you know, working in acting. So it kind of just felt like this is something that we like get to do. And then we've been very fortunate to have that thing kind of take off in a really amazing way and get to spend most of our time now doing it. But that's always something that we come back to. Like when things get crazed in some way, we always kind of like try to come back to the way that we started and remember like we love this because it's fun to work on things together. And it's like we love music. We love performing.
Yeah. And
it all started from that very like young and excited feeling place. So I think we have a great foundation in that way.
It was also a good foundation, I think, because we didn't really know too much about the music scene, like even the indie music scene. I think we were pretty kind of outside of it. And I think that like just our personalities brought out the best in each other too, because like Kelly is very like Kelly's just very detail oriented and like wants everything. She said this before, but like she's like wants everything to be perfect before she puts it out, and I'm very like, let's just put this thing out, let's just do this thing, like blah blah blah. So I think that like my kind of that energy plus Kelly's make it perfect and awesome energy combined like brought us to a really nice place where we were able to like try this thing that like we didn't know how to do. Like we didn't know how to be a band, and we didn't really have anyone that we were like, oh, this band did this, so we're gonna do this. Like we just were like, let's start a band because it would be crazy to do that, and let's see if we can play shows, and then let's invite the friends that we know to come to the shows. And it felt very homegrown and fun, and not really, I'm very grateful that like the beginning of it just didn't feel like we were comparing ourselves to anyone. Because I think in like whatever you're studying or like trying to do career wise, like there's a big like, this is the way that this person did it, or this is what you're supposed to do to get to this point. And then you can get kind of, you know, brought down a lot when you don't meet those goals in those ways. So I think music was an interesting way for us to express ourselves, because we didn't really have those, oh, well, if we play at this venue and then open for this person and have this manager and whatever, like none of that was in our minds. And I think that really freed us at the beginning to create something that was ours, that wasn't about any type of trend or scene or anything.
There's something to be said when it's not that you don't know what you're doing. How do I say this? When you're unaware of the rules, like you were saying, you know, I got into radio completely through the back door, and, you know, I was 4 or 5 years into doing my music show, and I went to this conference and I heard this person with their programming, you know, their philosophy of programming. And I'm like, what? I'm doing everything wrong.
No, and I think that that's the thing, is like when you, like, it's so funny to think back to how we started, because there was this moment of like, oh, I'm doing everything wrong. And then there is that moment of like, I'm doing everything wrong now that I know about these things. Let me try to do it right. And then you try to do it right. And then you're like, oh, wait, I need to access the me that was trying to do it wrong, that was doing it wrong and didn't know, because that was the best version, you know, or that was the freest version. So I think that's a huge thing that like artists go through with imposter syndrome, realizing that the moment that you were in the imposter syndrome was probably your most brilliant, because it was unrestricted.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. I love that. What was it like when you sang together for the first time?
It was exciting. It was fun. I mean, I grew up like really, my mom was a singer and I grew up singing with my mom. Like from the time I was really little, we would like always sing in harmony together and like make up parts for stuff. And then in high school, I was like arranging I was doing a lot of like vocal arrangements and stuff. And so harmony has always been something that I'm like so obsessed with. And so it's always been, I feel like over my life, I like always have a best friend that I'm harmonizing with at some point. And so when Minna and I started singing together, I was like so excited. And I had a bunch of music that needed harmonies to be able to be performed. So at that time, I feel like we were mostly just like really excited to be able to hear the song in the room. Like it feels different to record yourself twice and listen to it. Like that sounds great too, but it's just nice to be able to like play in a room with no equipment. I love to be able to play with no gear. I'm kind of like, let's throw away all the gear. I just want to like sing in a room. I love to just sing in a room. So it felt really lovely. And
yeah, we definitely both started that. Well, I also like before we were starting Daisy, I had started this like improvisational voice band called Subtle Pride with my friends Zach, Jack, and Misha, and we would just book concerts at like venues, and we would say they were concerts, and then we would like make up a concert but only with our voices at these venues, and everyone would be like, what is going on? And that was really fun. And I've always, like, I feel like how I started writing music was not with instruments, and it was with voices and a more playful thing. And then when me and Kelly started working together, both of our laptops had like all of these vocals stacked with like vocals like as fill-ins for instruments and stuff. And I think that that was a really fun way. We do like play, like Kelly played piano when we started, and like I had like kind of rudimentary piano and guitar, but like over the years we've gotten more proficient, I would say, and now we both play like kind of lead guitar in a lot of the band. But the beginning of the band was very like lyric melody based, and then we would like be like, and we'd have someone on guitar and we'd be like, play something that sounds like, and just like making up these adjectives to describe it. But it did start with just the two of our voices together, and we would make up songs with no instruments in the room, and then like figure out what the chords were. And for one of the songs, the chords were, we realized, were all just G the whole time. We're like, this is going to be really complicated to figure out, because we just wrote it in the room. And then we were like, okay, and this chord is, it's G. And this chord is also G. Great.
Well, there's something about the blend, you know, that thing about genetic harmonies, like when you have siblings who sing together, and your voices to me blend in that way. You know, it happens when you have people who are not related occasionally, and it's just, you know, it's magic when that happens. So
that's very sweet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I did want to ask you about a tune, Rest of My Life, which I just thought was such a wonderful piece. And
We love that song.
Yeah. It's super meaningful to us. And I think it's one of the core themes of the record and kind of what we write about in general, that feeling of that, like, really the huge desire for certainty is something that we write about a lot. And like the comfort that comes with the idea of certainty. And I think that Rest of My Life is just like, if you could really ask somebody if they're going to be there for you forever, and if they're going to love you forever, and if they're going to remember you when you're gone, and then the realization that like everything becomes a part of the energy, but eventually disappears into something that becomes unrecognizable because everything is ephemeral. And I thought, yeah, we wrote that song. That song started as a different song that we wrote, what, like 5 or 6 years ago?
Started from a song that it started. I had written a song like around the beginning of Daisy that was like half finished. That one of the days we were in the studio with this producer, Cameron Hale, and we were working on that and building around the kind of like baby seed that I liked a lot at the time. And we wrote the verse and pre-chorus because I think we had the chorus already. And then eventually we like just didn't feel like that song was totally right. Like it never felt like we worked on it that day and then kind of were just like, I don't really know like if this feels like it's doing the right thing right now. And it had kind of already been puzzle pieced together in a kind of interesting way where it was like not quite right. And then when we were working on this record and writing for this record, we were like, we love this verse from this thing. Like I like can't stop thinking about this verse, and I think that we should work on it. And so we basically built Rest of My Life out of starting from the first verse and building a song out of that. And it's really interesting because it's like really similar themes to the original version, but it's like completely different. And that's another like example of how you're like, this feeling is consistent, but the way that we're expressing it is like totally different. And it's really fun to be able to like explore a new path for that emotion. Yeah. And like find a way to let it be shown in a way that you feel like people will understand what you're expressing.
Yeah. I think we also got to the like core meaning of the song, because I think that we were originally kind of dancing around it, and then we were like, okay, what is the like, we love this verse, and what with this verse as people do we want? Like, what are we searching for with this verse? And like, how can we say it in the most like horrible, blatant way? And then we were like, let's just like turn into children right now and be like, if a child was to say what they wanted without any pressure of like being like socially polite or anything, like what would they be asking for? And it's like, am I going to be okay for the rest of my life? We're like, let's just make that clear that that's what we want when we're like asking for something in this song.
You've been listening to a conversation with Minna Walker and Kelly Dukin of Daisy the Great. The pair's new album, The Rubber Teeth Talk with Friends, is out now. You can learn more about Daisy the Great, including live dates, at their official website, daisythegreat.com. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org and find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. And as always, we'd like to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torin Anderson.